This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, it's not the Manny Fry Show. What did you do while
man,
I was gone?
You weren't supposed to know about that.
Got to thank Bolt.
Unfortunately, there's a record. There's a record.
I didn't know he was
going
to get a shout out this quickly, but I was alerted to your shenaniganery.
By him?
Yeah, on Twitter. He said,
Why did you do this, Balls?
I was told on X, the guys changed your intro, and they said, don't tell Annie. And then he said something like, I got you. And then Ethan called him a traitor.
That's a fact.
I said, confirmed, Balls is not one of the homies.
And for the record, that's what he calls himself.
And he was offended.
That's a him thing. That's all right. He might actually outrank you guys right now because he seems to be like the one who's on my side. I take a few days off. Yeah,
that's
whatever.
What that is.
Yeah, it is.
He's kissing butt.
Yeah.
Just... Balls is kissing butt.
It's getting weird.
And that's my contribution to this first segment. Jesus. Thank you, guys.
Welcome
you
back,
later.
Annie.
You guys don't even need me here. So I went on a weekend trip with my oldest daughter. We had a nice little mother-daughter getaway. We're taking a page out of the Ryan Wiggins parental playbook.
Wow, that's the first.
I said when you were gone, and they can probably, I don't know if they'll vouch for me right now, in this current state of hostility in the studio.
There's a record of the show.
Yes, you could go back and listen to it, that I admired you for that, and I was going to try to do that myself.
See, you say these things when I'm gone. You need to just tell me.
I don't like that it makes me uncomfortable. Anyway, Ryan has taken picked a kid, his favorite kid, that year.
In any given moment.
Yeah. And it could change. Yeah. No, he takes his kids on father-child, because you have two boys and a girl, little vacations. And I was like, that's really cool. I think we should do that. And so we're trying to start doing that. My husband's going to try to take my son Charlie this summer on a stadium trip, maybe to go to Cleveland and then Pittsburgh. Did you know Cleveland and Pittsburgh am I memorizing this wrong? 45 minutes apart from each other or something?
I didn't know that.
Driving?
It makes sense.
I guess.
Knowing where
according to
Pittsburgh
maps.
Is in Pennsylvania. It's barely in Pennsylvania.
You're so dark on this screen right now.
Am I?
Yeah.
That's deliberate.
Did you see Joe Biden go start to give his speech? Did you see Joe Biden giving a speech?
I did.
I haven't looked at the sheet. Do we have any video of that?
We've got video, bunch of video of Joe Biden's speech. We don't have the video of the beginning.
The beginning? It's really not for radio.
No.
Because I listened to Fox News on the way coming in here, and they were playing this video of Joe Biden giving it. This is the first appearance that he's made since he was president.
Well, he's made one public appearance, but he didn't speak at all. This is the first time he's spoken.
He's supposed to start a speech, and they like had some music playing. So they play him, you know, just as you would when you have your featured speaker come to the podium. Just and the music's playing, and he's just talking.
Yeah,
he doesn't. You can't hear him. I mean, it's the music. You know, usually you play people off the stage. They tried to play him on the stage. He's like, enough of it. Turn the music off.
Yeah, it's funny because with anybody else, you'd think, well, based on where the speakers are, sometimes you actually can't hear it very well if the monitors are facing a certain direction. But it's Joe Biden.
You'd know.
You just know.
The ladies on Outnumbered were like, maybe he couldn't hear it.
Did they?
I thought, well, that's possible.
It is possible.
Like, it's possible that he just couldn't hear it. That's possible. So I'm interested in him being back in the game, and I'm interested in how he got there. Outnumbered said earlier this morning that he was compensated for that. I almost don't think presidents should be able to be compensated for those things. Is that, what do you think?
I don't know how you get around it. I get what you're saying, but I don't know what law you could write that would actually work.
It seems to me like they could have... This is exactly how things go. I'm saying this in like such a... Like, oh, I got a great idea.
We should get all the money out of politics.
No, I'm like, they shouldn't be able to get the money. They should be able to have money directed to charities that they love.
Yeah, like NGOs.
Which is, yeah, how we actually ran the government. Forget that. I need to go back on vacation. I'm stupid. Yeah. I came back dumber. Super naive. That's not good. What I bring to the table is a very cynical edge.
That's true.
I'm like, maybe if they gave Joe Biden money, he could just give it to people who need it.
Can't we all just
like,
share all the money?
That's exactly what I've been saying the whole time. Give me your money, and I'll determine who needs it. I need all of your money, and then I'll just redistribute it to the places that need it the most, according to me. Communism. Gosh.
I'm sorry, but you did not get this kind of crap on the Manny Fry Show.
I'm saying this on the air since you went there. I tuned in twice yesterday. I heard you talking to somebody who said that they were married to a psychic.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is so interesting. Well, we got a break.
Yeah, we had no time.
I stayed in my car to listen to how it ended. And I was like, am I listening to find, am I listening to this to see, to like protect my show, my baby, or am I actually interested? And I thought, I actually think I'm more interested than I am. There is both. But I thought it was kind of leaning in your favor. And then you're like, well, we got a break. And then you literally said, like, we'll never talk about this again or something to the effect. And I was like, well, I guess it's up to me to bring this topic back up.
It is. And I got to say that you played right into my hands because you got to leave them wanting more. So right in the middle of something interesting I've learned, you
just leave.
Stop.
Just leave the room.
Stop and you play the music.
Also the same thing Joe Biden does.
Yes.
He just goes.
That's why I love Joe Biden.
And then he knows
why
what he's doing.
I was a Biden voter.
So he turns over and looks over his shoulder and smiles at you. Just so you know, he knows. He has 5D chess.
Saddest day of my life was when he dropped out of that race.
Mm-hmm.
I was Biden all the way. And then I had to go to Trump, my second choice.
That's real true information. That's a fact check true.
Yep. You said you tuned in twice. That was once. What was the other one?
Where you were getting really deep into Canadian economics and the inner workings of Donald Trump's mind.
We all learned a little something that day, didn't we?
I certainly did. I was like, I have got to get back there.
You loved all of it. All of it. You're like, dang, this is so good.
You're
I forgot
right,
it's even
I
my
did.
Show.
Do you know why I loved all of it? Because I heard those two things in the car on my way to Beef Tallow Fries at Steak and Shake for my kids who clean the house.
What'd you think?
About the show or about the fries?
The fries. I don't care about the
Fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Good to know. I'll be going there in just a second.
Yeah. They're really big on the beef tallow. There was a sign in Florida where I was, a billboard sign that had a chicken painting a billboard sign that said, eat more tallow.
Oh.
And I'm like, that is a direct hit at Chick-fil-A!
Wait, but if you're eating tallow, aren't you on the Republican side? Why would you be against Chick-fil-A? Oh, man, I don't know. The worlds are mashing together here.
No, you want beef, you go to Steak and Shake. You want chicken, you go to Chick-fil-A. You can't lose.
We're in a win-win situation.
What do we do?
I don't know. We've never been here before.
Too much winning?
Too much winning.
Not enough winning. More winning. More from Joe Biden here. You hear some of these things from him, and gosh, there's so many clips here, and I like all of them. There was only one that I was going to go to, but maybe we'll get... let's do this one. This is the most ridiculous one. I think a lot of people who listen to news regularly probably have heard this clip already, but you have to ask yourself if a Republican, like, let's just, well, Vivek Ramaswamy is not a good example because he's Indian, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You got old white guy. Remember, the Democratic Party, the party of DEI, equity over equality, all these types of things, they care deeply about this and they're always talking about it. And it's very important to them, the idea of identity politics, or if you're Joe Biden, the idea, which he says all the time, of identity politics, it means everything to them. And he is the oldest, whitest guy in the game for the Democrats. And they're like, we pick him. And he's like, I'll pick a woman of color. And they're like, that's good enough. That's a good deal. We'll take that. This is what he's saying at this speech. Listen to how he talks.
When I was only going in fourth grade, and I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by. They never turned right to go to Claymont High School. I wondered why. I asked my mom, why? So in Delaware, they're not allowed to go to school, in public school, with white kids, honey. That sparked my sense of outrage as a kid.
It sparked his sense of outrage as a kid, and he's still casually in conversation referring to people of color as what he says back then they would say colored kids. Is that a mistake, or are people overblowing this?
I actually wonder if that was part of the script and he just didn't read it right, because what it sounds like he might be saying there, again, I'm just trying to find that maybe there is something here.
You know, your Biden fanboy status is in check right now.
I'm an apologist for the guy. I think that maybe what he was trying to say is, when I was a kid, when I would see that bus going, we called them colored
kids. Yeah, that's
kids.
What he said.
And that's kind of, it just didn't come across that way.
I just don't think it's something you throw out there casually in conversation without highlighting that you know that was then. Like,
yes.
Like not making it inarguably clear.
Especially if you're writing for him. You have to make it clear.
If you're writing for him, you don't put that in there.
Yeah, you probably just skip that.
This says Angry Joe. This is the one that I was listening to this in the car on the way in, and I actually laughed out loud to myself in the car because I was like, oh, I remember those times. That was a special time. 4 years of Joe Biden going through what seemed like he had lost his fastball, but he still knew the mechanics of being a politician. But it's like when Austin Powers gets unfrozen, he can't control the volume of his voice. He's got the mechanics. Joe Biden still has the mechanics of being a politician, of commanding a room and trying to draw people in with the way that you move about your speech. It's like he still has that, but the substance isn't really there. Oh, Angry Joe.
You know, my dad was an honorable man. And my dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, your job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay, and mean it. Well, that's what you're all about. That's what the legislation is about. It's about dignity. Simple dignity.
Oh.
Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of their standing, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of who they are.
I got a theory.
I love to hear it.
I think that what he's trying to do is make sure that he stays awake.
Oh, he's waking himself up.
Because he's getting a little bored.
Do they...
Sleepy Joe.
Are those words in the speech bold?
I don't know. If he just decides, like he said with Austin Powers, I can't control the volume of my voice. It does. It's just sudden. It's so weird.
And I mean, he's the rest of his tone when he delivers a speech, it's kind of a lull. You know, you kind of listen to it. And Donald Trump does this too. 100% Donald Trump, when he's delivering a straight speech, he's got this kind of, you know, both of them have lost some tone to their voice, and it's kind of a little bit more breathy. And as he'll be talking, I'll realize if you were just listening to the tenor of the speech, it's kind of boring. It kind of lulls you deep. And then he yells! Sorry if I scared you.
You did. But I was falling asleep, so.
Thank you. That's what happened yesterday. Why I didn't hear the rest of the show.
No, that's not what happened yesterday.
Fresh,
yesterday,
I
take you right to the pinnacle, and then
really
we just end. This is interesting, isn't it? Be right back.
With something else. That's not us here, though. Attorney General Andrew Bailey in studio, right?
Yes,
he's here.
He's out there right now.
Did he answer my question?
He was on a phone call whenever I messaged him, so we're not sure yet.
Well, I'm asking him then.
Okay.
I want to know about Real ID.
Ooh, me too.
You've got yours.
Yeah, I do.
You renewed and got a Real ID and didn't realize it?
No, I didn't even know.
I don't even know how that's possible.
I probably checked a box somewhere and didn't know.
No, it's not that simple.
You got to bring stuff in.
I think I think you stole something. I think you put that gold star on your license.
That's also possible.
It is. The question we have for you in the YouTube live chat poll today is, do you have a Real ID? Yes, no, and you need one. No, and you don't need one. I want to know your real ID stories. I want to know from y'all who went and got your real ID and it was smooth sailing. And I want to know the folks out there who have not gotten their real ID and why. And we need you to get onto the Annie Fry YouTube channel and you can vote in that poll. You can leave us a comment as well. I went yesterday and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. So what about that real ID? The time is coming where you're going to be needing it, required to have it in order to fly after May 7th. Or will you? I see people questioning it. But the story right now is, yes, you're going to. Andrew Bailey is going to be in with us when we come back. And we've got a lot to talk about with him, of course. A constant fighter against DEI. And also, let's talk a little bit about Planned Parenthood with the Attorney General in studio here on The Annie Fry Show. Next, we'll be right back. No, you're not gonna
stop me getting friends. Attorney General Andrew Bailey sent a letter demanding the country's leading companies abandon DEI practices today. Bailey is joined by 14 other states in, quote, fighting to protect working Americans and investors from these woke political trends and blatant racial discrimination, end quote. He threatened legal action if the DEI practices do not stop. He has already filed lawsuits against Starbucks and IBM.
Well, there you have a report from Hannah Falcon of KFVS 12 in Cape Girardeau talking about Missouri's Attorney General. We just happen to have him in studio with us right now. Andrew Bailey, thank you for being in here.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. I want to get to the DEI thing here in a second. So I want to talk about your fight here more locally on behalf of the people of Missouri. But there is a headline that has just come out here in the last minutes, probably within the last hour. Federal Judge James Boasberg, we've heard that name, finds probable cause to hold Trump in contempt over deportation flights. The 48-page opinion, Judge Boasberg said the court had ultimately determined that the Trump administration actions on the March 15th deportation flights, which took place after he issued a bench ruling ordering their immediate return to U.S. soil, demonstrate a, quote, willful disregard for the court that is sufficient for the government to be found in criminal contempt. Do you have any comments on this? Because this is breaking legal news.
Yeah, this is judicial lawfare. I mean, that's exactly what this is. We saw lawfare from state and local officials in Georgia and New York against then candidate Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We see it now from the bench in an Article 3 unelected federal judge, cultural elite who's taken the bench, who's doing judicial lawfare against the Trump administration. The judge never had authority to interfere in foreign policy, national security issues that are given to the executive branch under our constitutional structure. So when that judge usurped his Article 3 authority to invade the province of the executive branch of government, the judge behaved illegally. And so now he's saying that, well, you still have to do what I say or I'm going to hold you in criminal contempt. That's not how this system works. That judge should be impeached. At the end of the day, the executive and legislative branches of government have checks and balances against the judiciary as well. It's high time we use those checks and balances. The judiciary is not right because they're right. They're right because we've allowed them to be last, but we don't have to. Article 3 says that the federal judiciary adjudicates cases and controversies between parties, but only where there's that limited federal jurisdiction. The judge had none. He has no authority to issue this order.
Oh, so the way, you know, we understand that our lifetime appointments for a judge like this, he's very much so an activist in the way he's using the bench. The only way that the American people get to check, because we love checks and balances in this country, is through impeachment.
Yeah, that's right. And at the end of the day, that's up to the legislative branch of government. You know, the House could impeach the judge and then the Senate would hold a hearing. I think that's an appropriate step. I think that at the end of the day, we're not talking about a disagreement over the contours of settled law.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the usurpation of one branch of government against the other. Now, what if President Trump just said, I'm not going to follow the laws Congress passed? That would be called a constitutional crisis.
Right.
Well, that's what we're seeing here, but it's a constitutional crisis of the judiciary, of this judge's making. And you see, like, Chief Justice John Roberts of the United States Supreme Court saying, hey, look, we shouldn't impeach judges just because we disagree with them. This goes beyond a simple disagreement over, you know, a jump ball could go either
sure
way. The issue of first impression, like, this is settled law that's dictated by the United States Constitution. And you have a federal judge that's trying to make Americans less safe by interfering in foreign policy and national security directives from the executive branch.
Yeah, we've heard so much about, you said constitutional crisis. I almost don't even take that phrase seriously anymore, because just by virtue of the American people in a majority, all 7-for-7 swing states, just a landslide victory for him in November. Like they all, we were told by the left that it would be a constitutional crisis if Donald Trump got reelected. And it's always interesting to me to hear a political party in the Democrats always say that the only way to preserve democracy is if you only vote for their party. And I'm like, I don't think you understand what that word means.
And they're the same people that try to destroy our Democratic Republic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you see this judge doing by saying, well, separation of powers doesn't matter. I also get to dictate foreign policy. I mean, would we allow a judge to set troop movements on a battlefield or select bombing targets in a time of war? No, we would not. Yeah. And yet that's exactly what this judge is trying to do.
So, you know, the left is working very hard to transform how we function. And they got the wheel for a while Joe Biden was the president. We had a lot of implementations across the country to really elevate where DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion was implemented, how it was implemented, but specifically how it was prioritized over all other things. And you have been a steady advocate for actual equality and not the inverse of it, which is what the left has been putting up. Talk to us about what you're doing right here in the state of Missouri.
I agree with the United States Supreme Court. The best way to end racial discrimination is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
Amen.
And corporate racism is still racism. Ever since 1964, when the Civil Rights Act was passed, Title VII prohibited discrimination on the basis of race or national origin in the workplace. The Missouri Human Rights Act, same thing. And so Missouri is uniquely positioned, given the authority of the state under the Missouri Human Rights Act, to take action. We certainly sent ample warnings to our corporate citizens to eliminate racially discriminatory practices that are hidden under this kind of social justice warrior mantra of DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion programs. But at the end of the day, if you're enforcing racial quotas to elevate certain races above other races, you're depriving those other races of opportunities in the workplace. That's violative. That violates the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It violates the Missouri Human Rights Act. What we're doing here with the Business Roundtable, this is a group of hundreds of CEOs that have met for the last 50, 60 years, and they issue kind of best corporate practices. And corporate governing principles. And so they published a new principle 4 or 5 years ago that said, hey, we're going to redefine the term corporate purpose. Well, corporate purpose is supposed to mean maximizing profits for shareholders.
Yeah.
That supports open, free, fair market economics. And yet in 2019, 2021, the Business Roundtable said, we're going to redefine corporate purpose to promote DEI instead. Well, that's a breach of their fiduciary duty to their shareholders. So it's illegal in that respect. Specifically, promoting racial quotas violates Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and the Missouri Human Rights Act. And it's immoral. How dare anyone tell African-Americans they're not good enough to achieve? I mean, it's very patronizing to say you're not good enough. I'm going to promote you despite your lack of merit. And then you're going to be forever beholden to my largesse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what corporate America is saying to the black community. I think it's morally abhorrent.
It's racist.
It's absolutely racist. It's corporate racism.
You are listening right now in studio to Attorney General Andrew Bailey, a fierce defender of our constitutional rights here in Missouri, but also across the country. You've had a lot of national implications on fights that you've chosen to really go all in on. I'm interested in, you know, DEI, and I've said this because I'm a fan. I'd love to take my family to Disney World, and I hate what Disney has become. I love what they were. Walt Disney, I think, is one of the most patriotic Americans that we can highlight, and they've really turned everything upside down right now. And I feel like they're kind of starting to get the message, maybe. And that's because dollars speak, of course. But DEI in a company like Disney, but in many other companies as well, it was a marketing tool. Like, I'm not even sold that the company is implementing this idea of diversity and inclusion. They saw that it was trendy and they knew they could sell it to people.
Yeah.
And it didn't sell.
Yeah.
But what about these companies who are kind of renaming or repurposing, kind of sneakily trying to keep those policies in place, but do it back here behind the curtain?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is always racial quotas, discrimination in the workplace based on race has always been and will always be both morally abhorrent and illegal.
Yes.
And we're going to enforce the law against it in the state of Missouri. I think that what happened, you know, despite all the work in the civil rights movement, hey, look, Republicans have been fighting and dying for a meritocracy to give African-Americans a fair chance since the 1860s. So this isn't new to our party.
Yeah.
But, you know, what we saw in the 1960s with the civil rights movement and legal protections to prevent this kind of discriminatory behavior. And then after the 1990s, when the affirmative action cases came down and the court kind of said, well, look, we're going to allow some racial gerrymandering in higher education. It's been a steady decline since then where folks have said, well, if we can do it here, we can do it there. We can do a little more. We can do a little more. But even in that context, even in the context of higher education, since the 1978 case, Regents of the University of California v. I think his last name is Bakke, they said racial quotas still violate the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. That's going to be interpreted in parallel with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And so this has always been illegal. And so it doesn't matter. Look, the noble objective is still illegal. It's still illegal to discriminate on the basis of race. And like I don't know how to say it any better than the Supreme Court. The way you end racial discrimination is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
Yeah, that is a very well put conclusion. I think that Americans clearly have said that they agree with that. In the last election, they had the opportunity to weigh in on that. Another thing that Americans weighed in on in the last election is a lot of the gender confusion that exists as a cultural and, again, trendy thing to push as a priority over all else. You're fighting back against Planned Parenthood as well here in the state of Missouri. Talk to me about some of your successes there.
Scored an enormous win yesterday in court to force Planned Parenthood to turn over documents that we requested as part of our ongoing investigation into gender mutilation clinics operating across the state to hold wrongdoers accountable. Those clinics have resisted compliance with state statute since I initiated that investigation. And we're not done, and we're not going to give up. All three of those cases have been briefed and argued and or decided at the appellate court level. We're waiting on two decisions out of the Eastern District Court of Appeals. But yesterday was a huge win. And again, it just validates the state's authority to protect the health and safety of children. I said since I took office, I want Missouri to be the safest state in the nation for children. And that means ending the gender mutilation of kids that is a woke left-wing experimentation that permanently harms kids. It's not based in health or science. How dare anyone tell these kids God put them in the wrong body? We know he doesn't make mistakes. There are zero FDA approvals, even under the Biden administration's FDA, zero FDA approvals for the administration of powerful chemicals like puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones or dangerous irreversible surgeries for kids under 18 for the treatment of what's called gender dysphoria. And the fact that there's no medicine or science behind it means it should and is banned in the state of Missouri. And we're going to look back in time and hold purveyors of this dangerous experimentation responsible for their actions. And again, the court has validated the state's role in protecting the health and safety of children in Missouri.
And, you know, we've seen studies that have been done where they've hidden studies away that show something that is politically disadvantageous to the people who want to push this type of, gender transformation in children specifically. Like, they have manipulated, you know, with the science. They've manipulated the science for a political purpose. It's evil.
Yeah. Anytime the left starts preaching science, radar should be going off, right? I mean, we saw that during COVID. There wasn't any science behind anything. Dr. Anthony Fauci. I mean, I can hear the quacking, you know, from over here. At the end of the day, there was no science behind this. And you're right. Think about what happened to Big Tobacco in the 1990s. When they knew the cigarettes caused cancer and hid that science from the public and resisted government regulation. And then there were enormous lawsuits that have forever changed the tobacco industry and honestly really reduced the amount of smoking in the United States of America. You know, I think history is going to look back at this moment in time. Let me give you an even better example. Think about the 1940s at the tail end of the eugenics movement, where the leading psychiatry of the day said that lobotomies were the best way to treat mental health disorders. They went in and cut out your brain. That's mutilation of the human body. And it didn't fix anything. It made people worse off. I think that history is going to look back at the moment in time, the height of that transgender movement, and see it as a dark, shameful period in our history where we were harming children. And you know, thankfully, here in Missouri, we put a stop to it.
Amen to that. We're speaking with Attorney General Andrew Bailey. One last question before we let you go. Just interested in your thoughts on, read the Fox News headline here. Trump administration refers New York Attorney General Letitia James for possible prosecution over allegations of mortgage fraud. I don't know how much you've been able to look into this, but you are an attorney general here in Missouri. Yeah. She has that same position in New York. What are your thoughts?
I think that the allegations are not just words. there's documentary evidence that were attached to the letter that independent counsel official sent to DOJ as part of that referral. And those are documents showing that Letitia James was getting loans for a house that she called her primary residence in Norfolk, Virginia. So one of two things happened here.
Primary house.
So either
Virginia.
Either she's not legally qualified to be the New York Attorney General, which the rest of the world will be better off if
Shocker.
That's true. Or she committed a fraud and, you know, authenticating a false writing, committing doing a forgery of a writing here in the state of Missouri is a felony offense. It's also disqualifying. She's supposed to be protecting people from fraud, and it appears she was perpetrating. And these aren't, again, this is not a contortion of the law. We have the document now with her name affixed to it. So this is a real problem for her. And, you know, I think the chickens are coming home to roost.
What's the stronger case? Letitia James' case against Donald Trump or the Trump DOJ's case against Letitia James?
The DOJ case against Letitia James. There was no case against President Trump. Again, what she pointed to is fraud. Everyone made money. The banks that she say he defrauded, everyone made money. There was no victim. Nobody complained. And there was no falsehood in the writing. Here, again, she either...
Sounds like Letitia James made money.
Exactly. Like she forged a document for pecuniary gain. That's the definition of fraud.
It's just like too funny. It's too ironic. I'm sorry.
Dripping
with
irony.
I don't know if you're not allowed to laugh at that, but I'm thinking that is funny stuff.
I've seen the news story. I didn't realize how much those things paralleled until you just said that.
Oh,
the tax issues.
Maybe now we understand why she knew so much about the fraud she was trying to tack on Donald Trump.
I mean,
she's good at it.
My position is she had to contort the law to try to fit the facts that President Trump. Because if you look at the banking entries or the documents that he submitted as part of his business transactions, they weren't fraudulent. And no one was misled because everyone benefited.
My question with the Trump case has always been, if you told Trump you'd pay him $1 billion to commit the same crime again, would he even know how to do it?
Would he even know how
to replicate the crime that he was being charged with? Real quick, before we let you go, do you think there's a natural conclusion to the case against, you know, Donald Trump's a felon now? What's going to happen there?
I think at the end of the day, the court has to vacate that conviction. Legally, he can't. Legally, those facts don't constitute criminal behavior.
How long does that take?
Years. I mean, the appellate process, criminal conviction, you can take 18, 24 months at the Court of Appeals. If he wins, theoretically, that's over. Could be transferred to the highest court in New York. And I'm sorry, I forget what the name of those courts are, but you'd have an intermediate appellate review. Theoretically, you've got an independent intermediate appellate review and then the highest court, a state Supreme Court.
So could he be cleared, like, I don't know, right before the next election?
I mean, Yeah.
If this were a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Attorney General Andrew Bailey, you are fighting for common sense. And unfortunately, we need to fight very hard to get common sense back in. But we are very fortunate to have you here in the state of Missouri doing the job.
Hey, God bless. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. Andrew Bailey here in studio on The Annie Fry Show. All right. Quick break. And then Ryan Wiggins tries to elevate the show from here. Everybody watch and see if he's capable. How do you feel? You feel good about that?
No.
Well, you got to stick around.
Look, the Attorney General standing right next to me.
Maybe,
what am I going to say? Yeah, I'll outdo him.
Maybe if you stand in the microphone he was on, maybe it'll just rub off on you a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Wiggins America next. Don't go away. We keep on
waiting. I fell into a ring of fire.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
All right, well, there is a new season of Black Mirror out on Netflix, and while that show sometimes...
I'd never heard of it.
Really?
No.
Okay, so this is the modern generation's anthology series like Twilight Zone.
He was talking about this all day yesterday.
Not on the air.
No, off the air.
No, he was talking about Canadian psychics. Go on.
I was. Wait. I think you mixed up two of those segments. Mashed them together.
It was just so confusing.
But this show is really one of the best shows on streaming or television today.
I thought you were talking about our show.
No, not this show. Black Mirror is great. A lot of money goes into
it.
Now, politically, you will find episodes where that show leans left pretty hard. But the first couple episodes I've watched of the new season, really, really cool, really good. And one of them deals with the Mandela effect. So you've all heard of this Mandela effect, right?
Explain it to me.
Yes, I will. The Mandela effect is a phenomenon that was named by a paranormal researcher. She wrongly recalled that Nelson Mandela had died in the 1980s. She says she could remember news coverage of his funeral.
Is he still alive?
He died in 2013. Oh, so, but the collective memory was that a lot of people in the world thought that he had died way earlier. you know, decades ago, and he hadn't. So they named this kind of collective misinformation the Mandela effect. And there are famous ones that people have already talked about, like Berenstein Bears. You've probably heard this if you've heard this topic before.
Berenstein? Berenstain.
Which is it? Do you know?
I'm an E person. Baron, S-T-E-I-N.
That's the way you pronounce it.
No, I remember the E.
You remember the E because there is no E in it. It's Berenstain Bears. And that's one of those that the collective conscious says, what? It had to be Berenstein Bears, but it's actually Berenstain Bears. So I've got a whole bunch of those that are a little more off the radar that I'm just going to test your memory on to see if you are remembering this correctly or incorrectly. The first one is Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I'm not a expert here.
I wasn't either.
Shaggy
but
is the dog.
No.
Was it a cat?
Shaggy
is not the dog.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is the dog. I said I wasn't an expert.
I thought for a second, that's a pretty good joke, but I'm not sure she's joking.
No, I was dead serious. You could name a dog Shaggy. Maybe not in Scooby-Doo, because that would be confusing.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Oh, which one's the dog?
That
I think it's Shaggy.
That was after Scooby-Doo transitioned.
Now, there is a movie called The Shaggy Dog. Maybe that's where you're getting confused.
Also unfamiliar.
Annie creating her own Mandela effect.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Scooby-Doo? Shaggy was the name of the dog.
Shaggy was always the name of the dog.
Scooby-Doo is the name of the orange-haired girl with the purple dress.
That's right. And the stoner. They were both called Scooby-Doo. All right, Shaggy is the guy who talks funny, Casey Kasem, originally, in the green shirt. Did he have an Adam's apple or not?
Obviously, I don't.
Yeah, you're not going to know.
Obviously,
you thought he was a dog.
Yeah. I think that's... No, it's a stupid assumption. Never mind. I'm not even going to justify it. Adam's apple or not,
Adam's
boys?
Apple or not.
I feel like he had a crooked neck, so I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no, yeah, because I feel like most dudes do. So
if I were going to do this as a test taker, then I would think that everybody would think he had an Adam's apple, but he didn't.
You're correct. Yeah, everybody remembers him having this big Adam's apple whenever he'd eat sandwiches and stuff. He had never had one. This one's for very much the left side of the room here. Left side of the room. That being Annie.
I was going to say, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
I stopped curling my hair.
How did Mickey Mouse originally hold his pants up during the early years, Steamboat Willie era?
Buttons?
Was it suspenders or was it a belt or buttons?
Buttons.
I remember buttons.
You guys?
I got nothing. Buttons?
Do you want to be here?
No, he doesn't.
I have no
Our
idea. This is way before
like
me.
We do. Keep going.
You guys are right. It's buttons, but the collective memory was that he
suspenders.
Had suspenders.
Did
on.
Steamboat Willie have suspenders?
I don't know. They just have a picture of Mickey.
I think Steamboat Willie had suspenders.
Let's go on to, I'm going to name three peanut butter brands. Tell me which one is not real.
Jiffy.
You already know this. How do you know this?
I know things.
Jif,
not a lot about
Skippy
Scooby-Doo,
or
but...
Jiffy.
Yeah, it's Jiffy.
It's Jiff.
Jiffy is not
Cheesy
real.
Moms
That's
choose
a tire
Jiff.
Shop.
Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, no, Jiffy is not real, and it seems that everybody can even picture the logo when they were a kid of Jiffy, but they're probably mixing up Jiff
I
and Skippy.
I kind of wonder if there was maybe like a really successful ad campaign where they're like, lunch in a Jiffy. I'm making that part up. But where Jiffy became part of an ad campaign for Jiff and... That's what kind of confused the two. But I remember Choosy Moms, Choose Jif. That was a good marketing campaign.
You got it. All right. How about Looney Tunes? Spell tunes.
T-U-N-E-S.
T-O-O-N-S? I don't know.
I'm going T-O-O-N-S.
Brad is correct. It was T-U-N-E-S, but everybody would have assumed that it was T-O-O-N-S.
That would have been the smart way to do it.
That would have been. We already talked about the Berenstein Bears, Berenstain Bears. How about Oscar Mayer? What is the correct spelling of Mayer?
A-E-Y-E-R.
E-I-E-R.
No, get out of here, Ethan. He doesn't want. He's trying to get picked out.
M-E-I-E-R.
No, if that's right.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R.
M-E-Y-E-R?
Yeah.
I said A.
Annie is correct.
Wow.
It is M-A-Y-E-R, but everybody
Ethan,
spells
that's almost
it.
As stupid as thinking the dog in Scooby-Doo's name is Shaggy.
The song was even before our time. My baloney has a first name. That wasn't a part of our childhood.
No.
That was before us. But yeah, even with the spelling in the song, people still spell it wrong.
M-A-Y-E-R.
M-A-Y-E-R. Here's another Disney one. Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Who's the fairest of us all?
Is that quote actually in Snow White?
The woke one or the regular one? Definitely not the woke one.
The original Snow White.
The new one is,
who's
hey,
the most inclusive
listen up,
of them
witch.
All?
I would guess that it's not.
Just the way that
by virtue of
is,
the segment.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You tell us, or is this it, just where it ends?
you know I'm going to leave you one more. That phrase is not in that movie. Mirror, mirror on the wall. It is magic mirror on the wall every time she says it. Isn't that
mirror,
surprising?
Mirror.
See, that's another.
That's Shrek.
Is it?
Mirror, mirror.
The reason why I feel like some of these things happen is I almost guarantee you that there was something that aired at some point where they couldn't say magic mirror on the wall because of copyright. So they changed it to mirror, mirror, and then whatever that thing was becomes successful, mm-hmm. and then it loops you back into going, no way, that's not mirror, mirror. It's Matt, you know.
Yeah, you may be right. Although a lot of it's just misquoting. Last one. Does the Monopoly man have a monocle or not?
No.
No.
He should, but he doesn't.
You're correct. He does not have a monocle. Oh, wait, one more. One more.
Fruit of Loom.
Does Kit Kat have a hyphen or not?
No.
I can't remember a hyphen.
Brad, no. Tiebreaker?
I don't remember
just
hyphen,
make
so
Brad.
No.
Pick! For the love of God, pick!
There is no hyphen in Kit Kat, but people remember it with a hyphen in it.
When Ethan buys Kit Kat, you put that hyphen wherever you want it. I'd put it between the first K and the I just because you can.
Kit Kat?
Sure.
You should
make it your own. Embrace it.
You should have hyphenated your last name.
when we come back, Jorie Murdoch, Joe Concha, join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.